UT researchers have made an AI that can diagnose arthritis, and we remember the godmother mariachi. I'm your host this week, Alistair Manligas, and this is a Texan Recap. Here's what you missed this week. A team led by UT researchers have made an AI that can diagnose osteoarthritis in the knees. Osteoarthritis is actually the most common form of this disease, and the AI can do this by looking at medical images like x-rays. Senior news reporter Amirtha Jayakumaran is here with a story. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So how exactly did researchers train the AI to be able to diagnose osteoarthritis?
Yeah, so the research team worked with, I believe, 40,000 patient files from the UK Biobanks. That's access to patient information that they were able to have on hand. And they basically trained the AI to examine the joint space between the femur and the tibia. So osteoarthritis is basically a condition where that joint space narrows and the bones grind against each other, which is really painful. And that's kind of like what they're diagnosing. So the model would take a look at all these medical images or x-rays of those joints. And they kind of train that AI to look at a bunch of these x-rays and then go create a spectrum sort of the space. So like the closer it gets to zero, the more severe the osteoarthritis. And so in a sense, they were able to just create this very large sample size and then use that to build a spectrum that they could diagnose off of.
And they use an AI model to make the AI that can do the diagnosis. How did that work?
Yeah, so they used machine learning, which is what the AI is. It's basically just like a really efficient calculator. So they had all those medical images from patients. And so they kind of just looked at that and then they trained the model to basically analyze specifically joint space, and then looking at that, they were able to go from there.
So what are researchers planning to look at now?
So the researchers look specifically at knee osteoarthritis because musculoskeletal diseases tend to use a lot of medical imaging. So they're very likely to get x-rays in the process of diagnosing. So they are looking at other musculoskeletal disorders such as scoliosis, which is a curvature of the spine, so they could train the AI model to look at the degree to which the spine is curving. So future research could look at that. That's what the team is looking at, but there are implications for a wide variety of medical images, so MRIs, CTs, basically whatever a clinician would look at to diagnose, the AI can be trained to look at and then go from there and assist the clinician in diagnosis.
And how would the AI be used in the real world?
Well, AI is pretty much integrated into a lot of major fields. So in the clinical setting, it would be very helpful in processing large amounts of data. So a clinician can't necessarily go through 40,000 cases in the same way that an AI can. That would take a lot of manpower. So AI kind of simplifies that process, speeds it up, and it very efficiently does so. So the clinician has access to data from 40,000 patients. They can look at that spectrum and then compare that to an individual case that fall along that spectrum and then use that to diagnose the severity of the treatment. And then from there, you can go into treatment plans. And in the future, they're hoping to look at how well the treatment's working. So post-surgery outcomes and post-treatment outcomes. So that's kind of like the direction that AI is heading in the real world.
And that was senior news reporter Amirtha Jayakumaran. Thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
The late Bel Ortiz is known as the godmother mariachi. But why? Life and Arts general reporter Isabella Cappuccino is here to tell us. Thanks for joining me, Isabella.
Thank you for having me.
So who is Bel Ortiz and how did she earn the title of the godmother of mariachi?
Bel Ortiz was a Chicana from San Antonio, Texas, and she was a wonderful pianist and a pioneer in education in the mariachi world. She earned her title of the godmother of mariachi through her like endless efforts of integrating mariachi music into Texas schools. You know, she started a musical and folk dance group at Barkley Elementary, and she called it Los Tejanitos. And then she was recruited to Lanier High to start the same programs at a higher level, which led her to establishing the first high school mariachi and ballet folklorico program in the country, which really paved the way for many Chicanos.
What kind of setbacks did she face in bringing mariachi to Texas schools?
Well, in the 1960s, when she began teaching, students nor like faculty were allowed to speak Spanish in the classroom. It was against the rules, so Bel really like tried to get around this by singing in Spanish, you know, not speaking, but singing. as well as other languages like French and Italian and German. But the greatest obstacle that she faced was that the school told her that she could not teach the songs in Spanish, specifically. So Belle kind of like accepted the challenge, and she said she'll stop teaching in Spanish if she stops teaching the other foreign languages. And so the school couldn't really come up with an excuse, so they gave in.
Could you tell me a little bit more about the Mariachi Campañas de América?
The band is actually named in honor of Belle. So Campañas de América, it translates to Bells of America. It was co-founded in 1978 by Belle and Juan Ortiz and is led by Mr. Ortiz himself. They actually just celebrated their 45th anniversary last weekend. And, you know, they've performed for 5 presidents at the White House, and they've earned numerous symphonies across America. But as far as Belle's role in it, she wasn't a performer in the band herself, but rather like the visionary. According to her grandson, Alejandro, she said that she really knew what like a performance was supposed to look like, and her politics and networking really elevated the band.
So you spoke to 2 of her grandsons for the story. What did they tell you about her memory and legacy?
I spoke with both Alejandro and Juan San Miguel. And for Alejandro, he said that, you know, like if it wasn't for her teaching and writing and advocating for mariachi programs, being in the school systems, that it could have like easily just fizzled out, especially in the States, and that it really connected a lot of children to their heritage, and that his grandmother's passing really helped him like internalize what mariachi meant for him and his family. That it was always something that he did, and he didn't realize how much it really meant to him or how involved mariachi was in his life, especially in comparison to other people. And that he, you know, he really wanted to carry on tradition of educating children, and that's actually what he's doing now. He just became a mariachi instructor. For Juan, he said that, you know, he was really astonished by like the amount of like generations of Chicano children that she really impacted, both directly and indirectly. Now there's like over 2,500 high school, college, and university programs that offer mariachi education. And he always said that, you know, part of like her memory and legacy was that like was educating children was really like the most important part. And, you know, it really meant everything to her. And she always stressed how much education was important. And she always told him, like, no matter what, nobody could take your education away. And both of them really want to continue mariachi and honor her in that way.
And that was General Reporter Isabella Capitino. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you so much.
And that's the Texan Recap for the week of September 18. I'm Alistair Manliguez. The Texan Recap is a production of the Daily Texan Audio Department. If you like this episode, make sure you subscribe to the Daily Texan on your streaming platform of choice and follow us on Twitter @TexanAudio. This episode was hosted by me, Alistair Manliguez, edited by Jack Llewellyn, and supervised by Azen Gaddis. Special thanks to Amirtha J. Kumaran and Isabella Cappuccino for their reporting, and to Katie Nelson, Mimi Calzada, and Chloe Moore for working with me on this project. Cover art is by Emma Burke, and music is by Top Flow Productions. To read the news stories in this episode or see more from The Texan, head on over to www.thedailytexan.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.